Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Sierra Taylor, and welcome back to the Miserable Wives Club podcast. Guess who's finally here to do her job as the second of three hosts? We're missing another host, people, but bear with us. We got Tanisha in the house.
Hey, y'all.
So today, the topic is going to jump from topic to topic. But the first thing that I wanted to talk about was, well, I'll start here. The title of the podcast, people, it is not to be taken seriously. Just keep that in mind. I think that a lot of people are like, well, why would you call it the Miserable Wives the Miserable Wives podcast? And that's exactly why, because it's always somebody complaining about something, and it's funny, like, you're really complaining about the name of a podcast. It's just like, okay, you are the reason.
I think it's numerous women out there that would love to that see that title and they like, oh, they got something to talk about.
We do.
Something similar to what they're going through in their life. So it gains us followers as well and people to listen to our podcast. So it's catchy.
Exactly. And not only that, we're like very, very much so relatable people, regardless of how much we have going on or what we're doing with our lives. We're definitely relatable. So keep that in mind, people. Okay, so let's get into it. A topic that I definitely wanted to grace and probably go deep into is the topic of having, you know, a friend that has a dominant personality. And I think that it's interesting because I am that friend, but I also have multiple friends with dominant personalities, and I've never been that friend to say, oh, well, you do this and you do that. And I never look for my dominant friends to be like, yes, massa, yes, we're gonna do what you say, you know. I never, you know, expect that. But I do have dominant friends. Well, I will say they're associates that expect me to jump whenever they say move, and it's just like, come on now. Who are you kidding? Like, if I'm gonna do something, it's because I want to do it, not because you want me to.
Not only that, like, we're grown. I have my own opinion. I can make my own decisions and my own choices. So if you invite me somewhere, I'm gonna look at it at all aspects, like at all spectrums. Like, okay, do I really want to go? What are we doing? How long is this gonna take? Like, I'm not just gonna go along with the flow because you suggested it. Like, I need to know certain things before I make my decision on, you know, whether I want to go or whatever, or whether I don't want to go along with the flow. But I too am an alpha, you know. But I have my moments where I say, okay, I'm gonna be present and be that alpha female, or hey, I'm gonna step back because my friend who is also an alpha is a little bit more knowledgeable, and I trust her decision making. So I'll say, okay, she'll say, hey, let's go do this. All right, bet. I know for a fact you're more knowledgeable in this area, and I trust you. So yeah, I'll go along, you know, the lines, and I'll fall suit. But for the most part, if you don't know what you're talking about, and I know for a fact you don't know what you're talking about, and you just want me to go along, that's just, you know how your mama say, oh, if your friends jump off the boat, off the bridge, you gonna do it? I'm not that type of person. First of all, why are we jumping off the bridge? Do we got anything to help catch us when we jump? Is it safe? It's too cold outside to be jumping off any type of bridge. See, I ask too many questions.
Yeah, it pretty much, what she's getting at is, you know, whenever you really have a dominant personality and you know it, like, you know everybody's personality in the room or that you associate with, it's kind of easier for you to identify who's strong in what and be able to step back, because, hello, if you know absolutely nothing about, let's say for me, my dominant area is money and numbers. Why would Tanisha try to go toe-to-toe with me when it comes to something like that? That's not something that I need to, you know, that she needs to fight me for or try to take control over, because that's not her field. That's not her expertise. Not saying that she's not a dominant individual. Not saying that she's not, she's still not an alpha. She is an alpha. You know, and, you know, generally she's an alpha. And, you know, same thing with me, but I find it that, you know, in certain relationships, people don't even realize who you are sometimes. And they kind of look at you to just do what they say. And it's just like, wait a minute, you know. And me, when you get pushback from me, everybody automatically assumes that it's an attitude. No, it's not an attitude, but this is my life. Mm-hmm. So I'm not just going to follow up behind you when you walking in the dark.
Not only that, being an alpha female in a friendship, relationship, partnership, whatever the case may be, you have to be able to say, I know I'm an alpha. I know she's an alpha. But I'm woman enough to take a step back and allow them to move in the way that they are comfortable with. I'm not gonna take control of a situation I am not aware of or I have a lack of knowledge of. Like, no, if my friend is better in this aspect, oh, you got it. Let me know what you need from me and I'll help support you, and vice versa. If they know, hey, I'm a people's person, so if you need somebody to do the talking, I'm the person to go to. Watch me work. Watch me put us all on. Watch me do for all of us. You know what I'm saying? Because if you try to take over in my area, we're not going to succeed. It's going to be failure and confusion, especially when it comes to a business or like a partnership or even trying to make a decision. Simple. If everybody want to go eat a certain type of food and they know I'm the go-to restaurant person, hey, just go with my flow. Most of the time, I'm right. But if I've never been there and you can see the doubt in my decision, then you can say, all right, we're not going there. But for the most part, I'm not going to steer my friends or even people that I don't know, a stranger, in the wrong decision just because I know I'm more dominant. No, I can take a step back and say, hey, you know something? We can come to a group decision. We can come to a conclusion where we both, voice our opinions, and that be it. And I not feel any type of way about it, or you not feel no type of way about it. I can respect your opinion. I can respect your dominance and still hold my dominance by taking a step back.
Just got to keep a balance, people. So just remember that. Another thing that I wanted to speak on briefly was just the context of how people take things and they just jump on and hold on to assumptions. Like, that is probably the most immature and ignorant way to handle any situation, to automatically assume something, to draw your own conclusions to something that you don't know the facts. You never went to the source or anything like that. You're just kind of like winging it. And that, you know, that can cost you a relationship. That could cost you money. That could cost you, most importantly, time. Like, you know, you spend so much time making assumptions and reaching and grasping, you know, for whatever you can grasp as far as, you know, what you are knowledgeable on, that you're not even going to the source to get your facts straight. That is something that I have an issue with dealing with on the other end of it. In other words, I've been the individual that people cast assumptions on, and it's just kind of like, are you high? Like, I literally have, no, seriously, because I've had, you know, family members ask me if I sold my soul to the devil. And I'm just like, you know, all I could do was just scratch my head like, are you kidding me? You know? And that's it, you know? Like, whenever you leave a conversation like close ended, like you say what you have to say and that's it, you make an ass out of yourself.
Okay.
And it's just, you know, it's kind of like burning a bridge and not being, the bridge crumbles completely. And I mean, some people are okay with that. That's cool. But at the same time, things come full circle.
Mm-hmm.
They really do. And like I said, assumptions will make an ass out of you. Excuse my language, people. But yeah, that was just one other thing that I wanted to touch on. Tanisha, so how was your week? What did you have going on? What was something mysterious that happened to you this week that kind of made you miserable and then you got over it and was just like, man, I'm freaking childish. I gotta get over myself.
Being, you know, active duty, military, you know, you realize there are people that are only winning in that area of their life.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's all they have going for themselves. So, you know, they take their job a whole lot more serious, but they also feel like that's their advantage over you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've done better than you in the military. But it's like, once we take the uniform off, who are you?
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying?
I found myself saying that a lot whenever I was active duty as well. And that's what really pushed me more to just be like, I'm pretty much over it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, people, you don't realize, and a lot of people don't realize, is that, you know, active duty people is just like, okay, yeah, you're going to stay in 20 years. And guess what? When you get out, you're starting over completely in the real world. Not the, you know, military world. You know, even if you just go to work for the government, you're starting over.
Yeah. But
even when you retire.
Yeah. I mean, it is a start over, but we all know that the military has a hold on you like no other, no other job. Yes, there's that job security, that health, that dental, but dealing with the, I'd be straightforward with the racism, the disrespect, the, you know, the feeling, the lack of support, you know what I'm saying? And feeling like, I'll even go to it, there is a high suicide rate. Like, the support is not there mentally, or, you know, it's really mental, because it's really a mental thing being in the military. People just, people don't want to stay in. You know what I'm saying? People don't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, when you have bad leadership, on top of all those other things, you're like, okay, I got to go.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. But if I did that in a civilian, if I had all of the civilian jobs, hey, here's my 2 weeks, I'm good. And I'll find a job that better suits me, that has a better environment, that has better benefits. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, I'm going to go to school, work my ass off, and then put myself in a position to be my own boss. Or to have a better, you know what I'm saying, to be in a better situation. So, it's just stuff like that. Like, this week has been, you know, that's what I've been going through. Having people that are higher ranking than me, that's all they have on me is the fact that they have that higher ranking. But in real life, they're not winning. You know, their life really is miserable. And they come to work and they take it out on you. And you like, wait a minute. I have done nothing but show my face. But that right there, being the, you know, a positive person and having a good aura about you and positive vibes about you, people see that and they automatically get jealous because they want to know what you so happy for.
Yeah.
What about your life make you so happy? We both got to put on this uniform and come to this place every day. Why are you so happy? One, because I know this isn't it for me.
Mm-hmm.
This all is temporary. You know what I'm saying? And that really is the source of my energy is that, hey, this isn't it for me. I know that I have more going for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I know for a fact that my purpose in life is not this. This is literally a stepping stone. But some people, this is all or nothing. And when you see someone that has more than that, and that you can see that, hey, this person is going to be successful in wherever, whatever they do. People get jealous of that. They envy that because they know they don't have that power and that will to move forward and want to do more in their life. They just want to do 20 and be done. But it's like, you're not
going to be done. That is true. And this not only goes to people that's in the military, but in the real world, there are people that they're just like, look, I am okay with just working for 40 years, on and off, and collecting my retirement check until I die. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, it's just kind of like, is what you do, what you are doing or what you're pursuing, is that your calling? Is that what God called you to do, or is that what your, you know, mistakes and decisions have led you to do because you had no other choice? I think for me and how I see things, like, there's a misery in me that sits deep, deep, where it's just like, I don't want to work for somebody else for 40 years. I don't.
Because you, for that 40 years, you're making that person rich.
Yeah.
They're allowed to take unlimited vacations. You get 2 weeks of vacation. 1 week of sick pay leave. So 3 weeks out of the whole year, you get paid off. Where these people can take the whole year off, call in, hey, how are things going? All right, good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Who wants to continue to do that?
Yeah, like,
especially, it's so much money to be made.
And when people say, I am the head, not the tail, I believe that completely. I am the head and not the tail. Like, 40 years, that doesn't sound like a lot, but that's a big,
that's
y'all.
A
like,
tomorrow ain't promised.
That's a prison sentence.
For real.
40 years.
Life expectancy is shortening. Literally, every year. People used to live to 100. They not making it that nowadays. So if I'm spending 40 years of my probably 80 that I'm guaranteed, if that, God forbid, you know
that's
what I'm saying?
It's a lot of years to be working. It's a lot of years to be working on somebody else. And, you know, another thing, we are like deep into this thing, into, you know, I noticed that if a job is going to pay you $70,000, $80,000, how much money do you think you're really making them?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I want you to be completely honest with yourself. And I'm not pushing to don't have a job, but I do believe in entrepreneurship. I do believe that that was the original way of life, through trade. I got what you need, you got what I need. This is how we survive. But now it's like, look, it's a dog eat world. And I mean, really ask yourself, if you're on a salary or if you're making however much an hour, how much do you think you are making your organization per hour? How many, even if you work for like the government or a nonprofit, or you're in the military, how many grants do you think you're bringing in to the government by existing, by doing the job?
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you this, way, way more than they're giving out.
Very much so. Because what I've realized is, as a boss, you have so much control. One, because you know this person got bills. This person is going to work. And then you can say, hey, yeah, we do promotions. This person is going to want to get promoted. So they're going to work their hardest for you, making you richer while they're barely making ends meet, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Depending on how much they get paid. Even if they make a lot of money, what tends to happen is we start making this good money and we up our lifestyle.
Yeah. That is
so, like, the now they need that promotion to back their lifestyle.
Yeah.
So they're gonna work harder, miss out on family, not take that sick leave or that vacation leave that they well deserve or earn that's given to them, only for somebody else to get that position that they worked hard for. But they're too scared to leave because they know they may not be able to find a job, or they don't believe that they'll be able to find a job making the same amount of money or even more for the amount of work that they gave you.
Absolutely. It's a new form of slavery. But, you know, we can talk about this all day.
And literally, all day.
There will still be someone coming out of the woodworks like, well, I worked hard for mine. And okay. We get it.
We get it.
We get it.
You working. Punch your clock. I see you in 40 years, and we're going to see where you at and where I'm at.
I mean, I'm not saying, look, I got a job. Y'all know I got a job. I'm an entrepreneur. And I'm into a little this and a little that. But I don't know. My vision is a lot bigger than just having a job, you know. Even just working for myself. Hell, I don't want to work. I barely want to work for myself. What makes you think I'm passionate about working for somebody else? No. But nevertheless, it is what it is. As far as my week, I think the highlight of my week was like a delayed reaction to some news that I found out. At first, I was just like, all right, whatever. And then like the next day, I suddenly felt like I was the bearer of bad news. And so it's funny because the first day I was like, absolutely fine. And the next day I was like,
Oh my God,
what are you? Misery, why?
The pity came.
The pity for myself came. But then I had to realize, like, you know, I had to own up to some things that I never really checked myself on my entire life. And now I had to do that. I had to accept and, you know, take accountability for my actions being the reason behind getting that news. What I'm gonna do now is laugh it off and go harder.
Okay.
And that's what people have to realize. Like, when you take those hits, when you take those blows, like, how tough are you really? Like, seriously, when you get fired from that job, like, how tough are you really? Like, What are you willing to do? And I ain't talking about no getting out in the streets and hustling or selling drugs or selling your body. No. When you lose that job, what are you willing to do to pretty much replace that job until you find the next one?
Mm-hmm.
Like, legitimate shit that won't get you in trouble, that won't have you in dark places. Like, what are you willing to do? Because it's real easy to make money. So, like, when you take blows like that, or somebody, you know, I've if somebody just wakes up one day and like, I don't want to be with you no more, you know, I'm tired, this ain't it for me.
It ain't.
Like, what are you going to do? What, you going to fuck they shit up? Ooh, I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean to cry. Like, you gonna mess they stuff up? Or are you gonna lick your wounds and keep it moving? Because 9 times out of 10, when you take blows, or when you lose money, you lose jobs, you lose relationships, you lose somebody in your family that you really didn't want to lose, that means something better is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And that is guaranteed, that is fact. But if you're not prepared for it, it can walk right past you. It can slip right through your hands.
I always say, when something big happens, have your moment. Take your moment to sulk and cry and do whatever you need. But right after that, get back to it. Because the longer it takes you to get back to where you need to, the longer that opportunity, your dreams, it's going to be further away from you. And you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss out. It's 2019. Anything is possible nowadays. Your dreams are a lot more reachable. There's so much information out there. Like, I get it. Failed relationship, fired from your job, whatever the case may be. Broken down car, like broken family relationships, all of it. There are things that might happen to you. It can always be worse.
It can.
So have your moment. Boss up. Get you some paper and get to writing and getting to figuring things out. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to make those sacrifices. Got to stop doing what you were doing to really focus on bettering yourself and getting you back in a position of growth. Let's say of growing, you know. But I always say this, have your moment, because that moment is very important. Because if you don't, you know, have that moment and say, damn, I really gave this my all. I failed, or, you know, something didn't work out, but it's going to be okay. And as long as when you finish having your moment and you say it's going to be okay and you continue, you're going to be all right. And that's all that matters.
And that's another thing. When you're having that moment, like, that is not the moment for you to start looking at everybody else. Because that's what I've noticed. There are people, and I've been guilty of this, but I had to realize, like, you need to stop.
Okay.
When people will have their moments, and you're supposed to be having a moment of, like, a coming to Jesus moment. Mm-hmm. And you're supposed
a moment
to be,
of truth.
Yeah, a moment of truth. You're supposed to have that camera on your face and just looking yourself dead in the eye, because the camera is a new thing now, or the mirror. But instead, people like to think about what other people are doing, what they got, mm-hmm. what they bought, how happy they are. Mm-hmm. They just got a good job. They just got a pay raise. What, like...
You don't know what they went through to get to where they were at.
Absolutely.
Because I'm sure they had their moment and they say, all right, let me get back to it. And then boom, things start happening for them. We have to take, like you said, we have to take our moment as a moment of not only of self-reflection, but say, okay, this moment is for me. Mm-hmm. It's not about anyone else. Mm-mm. Because no one made the decisions that I made that got me where I'm at. Everything we do in life is based off the decisions that we make. So if you fail at something, you succeed at something, that's all you. Mm-hmm. Have that moment and grow from it.
Make yourself a priority. Like, if you're going through something, you take a hard hit, that's when you really need to make yourself a priority. You don't need to be looking at other people, what they're doing, while you suffering, while you in misery. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? You're going to stay in misery because you're too busy focused on what everybody else is doing and not trying to correct your own ways, own issues.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Then you're going to turn into a hater.
Shahada.
Like, for real, because you're going to be so focused on what they got, that jealousy and that hate will show like a bad makeup.
The hate, they.
I'm trying to tell you.
It really will. And that's the thing, like, especially if it's somebody that you know personally, regardless of what you're going through, you need to be happy for them. Mm-hmm. Because, you, like she said, you don't know what people are going through. They might have one good thing happen to them or two good things that happen to them. But... five or six, they've been going through hell and high water on the other spectrum. Mm-hmm. So it's important that they get that influence from you and not know, well, he just did this, or she just got, or they just
that's
went there.
That's a coincidence.
I find it funny. That
is hating 101. Okay.
I find it funny. So don't be that I find it funny person. Don't be that way, guys.
Because really the joke's on you.
It is. And you still ain't fixed yourself. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, take that moment. Have that moment and have that deep cleanse and look in the mirror and just kind of be like, all right, self-reflection. I can't look out at the world. I need to look within to mm-hmm. fix what I've broken. Or, you know, or to just accept what's happened. Mm-hmm. That's all it takes. I mean, it may be easier said than done, but in reality, Like, what are you gonna do? Time is still ticking, and you what? What you gonna you gonna look at other people? You gonna sit in your room and eat ice cream and seclude yourself? And guess what? You still haven't took accountability. And when you finally do, what? A whole year done passed, and you like, dang, I could have did this. I could have did that.
You're further back than where you started.
Absolutely. Get over
it. And that's the worst thing. You never want to, you can be pushed back, but to allow yourself to just sit and allow life to pass you by, allow those opportunities to pass you by. Like, when people are going through certain things, they won't get invited to certain places because they're so busy sulking and so busy worrying about how this person got ahead and they didn't. Nobody wants to be surrounded with that toxic energy. Nobody wants to be surrounded with that that negative vibe. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So then that's when you go, before you know it, your quote unquote friends don't want to hang around you no more.
Because you negative.
That negativity is strong.
It's salty.
It is strong, you know. That's why I said you really got to have that moment. Look in the mirror and say, okay, what part did I play in my failure? Mm-hmm. What part did I play in, you know, why this didn't work out? What did I do? Once you can do that and own up to it and really say, I need to do better and this is the areas, you'll be better off.
That is very much so true. And so before we close, we have one more story for you guys. And this actually happened today. This is by far the funniest thing that that happened all day. So we had a lunch date and we were headed to lunch. And the traffic in the Mission area, it was pretty steep. And so I was like, darn, you know, I need to turn left. So, you know how you try to creep up and like most of the time, well, I ain't gonna say most of the time, probably about 30% of the time, a person is gonna let you in front of them. Today, you know, Tanisha's like, see, if I was you, I wouldn't do that nice stuff because people don't want. I was like, oh, it should be all right. So, you know, I try to pull in front of this guy. He like... scooches his car all the way up to like the back of the car in front of him, and I looked over at him, he said, fuck you. Like, miserable. I couldn't do anything.
It was so funny,
but laugh. And so when we started laughing at him, he gave like the white man smile, lips flat and closed,
clenched,
like,
baby,
and just shaking his head, and we were just laughing, and I just said, he said, fuck you. But you know, I could have, in reality, because I'm not like a angry driver, but I could have got upset, but I didn't. I thought it was hilarious. I wasn't ready to really receive his
negativity.
Misery.
Yeah, no.
This misery. I wasn't ready for that. And so, you know, because I was in a place where I know, look, I'm about to go eat. Mm-hmm. I'm not in a rush. And, you know, it's just traffic.
Yeah.
Him, on the other hand, was very upset. And he didn't even give me a chance to cut him off. And he still is like, fuck you. I'm just like,
dying. It was so funny because, you know, like you said, people give off that negativity and they want you to respond. Mm-hmm. And then with the, you know, everything that's going on in America, here you go, an older white male, and you have two black women. You know what I'm saying? And the stigma.
Stigma is, I was supposed to get the attitude.
She was supposed to, yes. But we just sitting there laughing because we are here to break barriers. In our generation, in our family, that's what we're here for. We are generation breakers. You know what I'm saying?
You heard say breaking barriers, breakthrough.
Okay.
It's not commercial.
So for him to respond the way he did and for us to just laugh at it, it's just like, I know what you want, but this is what I'm going to give you.
Yeah,
and you are not going to control this situation. And even more so, go ahead. You can continue to keep your lane, you know, keep your spot where you at. I'll wait because this is a temporary situation. This situation is not going to affect me in such a dramatic way that it's going to change my purpose or the direction that I'm headed in life.
Ooh.
So you can curse me. You can call me whatever you want to. But what? You behind your car. You protected. You doing all of this in a flash of a second. And I'm not, because that's all it takes. We all know that it takes a little bit. One moment, one episode, just one, you know what I'm saying? One simple word, exchange of words to escalate and make it different, to take it somewhere where it shouldn't. But instead of taking it there, we laughed at it. Because you gotta laugh.
Right, and guess what? We still made it to where we were supposed to go.
Still got that lunch special.
Hey.
And that food was bomb, okay?
Extra garlic butter.
Like, that's what people fail to realize. Them little mini roadblocks, they're there to test you. Not really to block you, but to test you. And you can't allow them to get the best of you. Because what's on the other side is greater.
What Maya say? I can't let you get the best of me.
For real, y'all. Like, that one, that was just a small, you know, incident that happens every day.
Every day.
Literally every day. It doesn't matter your background, who you are, your educational background, your ethnicity. That happens. Stuff like that happens every day. And if we took the same route that if y'all took the same route that we took, things would be different. You know what I'm saying? Because what we tend to do is put all of our energy into the wrong situations. I need to put my energy into where what's going to benefit me, make me money, make me happy, and push me forward. Not something that's going to set me back and just be like, yep, that's how they all act. And that's not the case. Because for one, you got educated women in the car. He don't know nothing about us. First of all, our car was newer than his. His car proved to us that, hey, he had a lot of dents and dings, y'all. So he been in a couple of accidents. So it let us know that he not only has rage, road rage verbally, but he probably used his car as well. We don't have time for that. So we're going to smile, we're going to laugh at you, and we're going to let you keep going, and we're going to go about our merry ways. And we hope nothing but the best for you, because what's for you is for you, and what's for us is for us, and no one can stop that but we can.
And
only
that's
us.
Exactly why we still made it to Benihana on time,
okay,
for the lunch special.
Okay. Talk about it. Baby, we ate in like 5 minutes, y'all. Not even that. Food was gone. Lady couldn't even come over there to check up. How your food doing? Well, it's gone. So we're doing about good.
All right, guys. So I'm going to just give you guys a heads up. We're definitely not editing this. And we hope you enjoy. And we look forward to hearing questions, comments, or concerns for this episode. Next week, we will be back on Friday. I don't think that Tanisha will be here, but our other host will be here. So you guys just stay tuned in. We definitely have some other things to talk about next week, like some of the trending topics. We'll save that for next week. You guys have a good night. And remember, this is the Miserable Wives Club podcast.
Hey.